May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. When I introduced the theme of the service earlier with the children, I mentioned one animal and one bird, the fox and the hen. Jesus calls Herod that fox, the cunny, wily, worldly politician. And he describes himself as the mother hen who shelters her chicks under her wings. The fox and the hen are at odds with each other and represent two different ways of being. I wonder where we stand with the hen or with the fox. I want you to keep those two images in your mind, and I'll come back to them in a moment. Lent is traditionally a time for self-reflection, discipline, and prayer. Just as Jesus in the wilderness was tempted to follow the easy way of popularity and power rather than the harder way of obedience to God, the question is posed to us, which voices within us do we listen to? The voice of self-interest and self-importance, or the voice of God's Spirit calling us to a life of self-giving and trust? We may have to say no to some voices, to some attitudes and actions, in order to say yes to the attitudes and actions which are life-giving in God's way. In our gospel reading, the issue comes to a head. Will people say yes or no to Jesus? From very early on in his ministry, Jesus faced opposition. There were frequent moments of conflict between Jesus and the religious authorities, the scribes and the Pharisees, and there were soon plots afoot to get rid of him. The religious authorities say an emphatic no to him. He was too radical. He questioned their authority and he made them feel both jealous and uncomfortable. They want to get rid of him. And in our reading, the Pharisees use Herod as a pretext to get Jesus out of the region of Galilee. He's trying to kill you, they say. You best leave. Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, was the puppet ruler of Galilee under the thumb of the Romans. He wanted to set himself up as king of the Jews himself, but he was largely hated by the Jewish people as an impostor. And certainly Jesus has no time for him and speaks of him dismissively as that fox. Jesus has no intention of leaving Galilee out of fear of Herod or the Pharisees or anyone else, but nevertheless, he freely chooses to be on his way out of Galilee because he knows he must travel to Jerusalem. This is all part of God's plan. Go and tell Herod, that fox, he says, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. What work will be finished on the third day? Jesus seems here to be referring to his death on the cross. His death is seen as the completion of his work. It is all part of God's purposes. His execution is not a triumph of the Romans or the Jewish authorities. It's all within God's plan. Jesus knows what he will face as he travels to Jerusalem. This is where many of the prophets were killed, and it's where he will face his own death. But Jesus acts with freedom. He chooses to walk this way because, terribly hard as it is, he knows it is God's way. But as he contemplates all that lies ahead, his thoughts are not for himself, but for Jerusalem, which stands for all the Jewish people. And Jesus laments over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus, in compassion and tenderness and love, longs to gather the people together under his love and protection, knowing, in fact, they are not willing for this to happen. This picture of a bird sheltering her young under her wings is used in several places in the Old Testament as a picture for God. For example, Psalm 36, verse 7, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God! all people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Jesus takes up this image for himself, but here there is an added dimension to the picture. It may well be that what's in mind here is the situation of a mother hen sheltering her chicks under her wings in the middle of a farmyard fire. Apparently, facing such danger, what a mother hen will do is gather the chicks underneath, and stories are told then of such fires leaving a dead hen, blackened and scorched, with live chicks under the wing. This then may be a very powerful image of the life-giving nature of Jesus' death. He dies so that we, like the little chicks, might live. The fox and the hen. The picture of the life-giving, nurturing hen stands in sharp contrast to the picture of the fox, that sly political wrangler Herod. Of course, we all know that in the world's terms, the hen will always be vulnerable against the fox. We may think of Christians who are killed for their faith. We may also think of aid workers seeking to serve those in need who are killed by members of pitiless regimes who do not care for their people. Brute power and political cunning often seem to triumph over vulnerable and self-sacrificial love. But nevertheless, this way of love is God's way, and this is the way that will triumph in the end. But although the picture of the mother hen giving herself so that the chicks might live is such a powerful image, the stark truth of this passage is that the chicks are not willing to go under the mother hen's wings. Instead, they run off in every other direction. The Pharisees, along with Herod, have said no to Jesus. They've tried to get rid of him. But it seems also that the people of Jerusalem, those chicks, they also say no to the mother hen. They say no to Jesus. "So be it," says Jesus sadly. "Your house is abandoned to you." This probably refers to the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Jesus will not force his way on his people. They can reject him, but they must then take the consequences. Of course, Jesus also takes the consequences of their rejection upon himself as he dies on the cross. So what about us? What message is here for us this Lent? Let us keep in mind the picture of the mother hen longing to gather her chicks under her wings, knowing that Jesus longs to embrace us and draw us together in his love. He is prepared to die in order to bring us together with one another and back to God our Father. God's power is not that of brute force, but of vulnerable love. He does not force himself upon us, but rather invites us to respond to the love he offers us. We are free to say yes or to say no, thank you. God is not a tyrant who compels us with irresistible power. He invites us through self-giving love to come to him. We are created as human beings with freedom to choose how to respond. Like the chicks, we can run to the mother hen or we can run in the opposite direction. Lent is a time to reflect on our response to God's love, to recognise that all of us may in fact have pockets of resistance in our hearts and lives to the love God offers us in Christ. Where might that resistance be? Are there times when our pride shuts God out? We believe that we can achieve all our goals on our own. Are there situations where we prefer to hang on to anger and bitterness rather than to forgive and be reconciled to others? Are we sometimes tempted to follow the way of worldly power and cunning, like that of the fox, rather than the self-giving love of the hen? Are there other Christians we dislike and resist being drawn together with? We don't want to be chicks in the same brood as them. This was an issue for the Pharisees, one of the causes of their conflict with Jesus. was they could not tolerate the company Jesus kept. So perhaps that's sometimes true for us as well. But Jesus wants not only to draw us to himself, but also to draw us together with each other too. Jesus' lament over Jerusalem has a haunting resonance for us today. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus desires to draw all people together to himself through the cross. But the question still remains, are we willing? Amen.